name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear.
Change nothing he's done. It doesn't change my salvation, but I'm glad I feel when his spirit moves a little bit. Lets me know he's in there. I appreciate the salvation. I appreciate the Father and what he done for us. Sending his son. I was listening to a preacher this morning talk about never knew sin, never did sin, didn't think sin, but he took on our sin. He knows what sin is. He took it on himself. And then he suffered for our in our place what we should have suffered. He suffered for us. And then God opened that up to the Gentiles.
Amen.
What a God we have.
Amen.
What a good God we have.
Amen.
How merciful he is. Boy, I tell you what, there's nothing like being saved.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about hell no more. That was why I got saved. I was scared of that. I was under conviction. I was lost, but it's more than just escaping hell. You get so much more than just escaping hell.
Amen.
There's more to it than that. That was just my introduction. I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to burn forever. I didn't want to be separated. But it's much, much more than that.
Amen.
He's got so much more for you. What a loving God we have. You go ahead.
Amen.
Thank you.
me your choice.
Amen.
You remember the day you heard that voice?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank God. Come to the Savior. He patiently waits. I was thinking about that down in the prayer room, not exactly that in that context, but I thought about the Savior. I'm glad he's got tender mercies. He's tender. I thought most of the time I'm calloused, but he's tender. Thank God. Most of the time I can brush things off, but he don't do that. And I thought about it this way. The Bible said that his ways are far above our ways and his thoughts far above our thoughts. He's nothing like I am. I'm talking about, you know, he's tender. I'm calloused. I get hard sometimes. But he's touched with the feelings. I mean, you know, I can be hard, but you can touch him this morning. You might be broken, but you can touch him. Amen. He cares. Nobody cares like he does. Lord, he's our example. I heard Jerry say this morning, talking about her dad, said he, you know, he's just so tender, so sweet. And she said, it makes me want to be like him. It's the way the Lord is. Yeah. Get to thinking about how he is. Makes me want to be like him. Glory to God. I appreciate it. I'm glad one day I heard that voice.
Yeah.
Thank God. Never forget that. Ain't it good to reflect back? The Bible said, stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. It's good to remember some things.
Yeah.
If you start remembering anything about the Lord, you'll just remember how good he was to you. Be honest about it. I think that's one thing that's going to make hell, hell. Is you remember how good God was to you and you rejected him. Oh, Lord. Not all the bad things. You're going to remember the opportunity. Great God. Don't squander that away. Don't let him pass you by. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. While on others thou art calling. Lord God, don't let him pass you by. Hey, I'll say this even to the church, those that, Lord God, when he comes around, Bible says, seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he's near.
Amen.
Now's today's the accepted time. I mean, go ahead and get what you need. Call on him. Oh, Lord God. Well, anyway, I ain't going to ramble around this morning. I'm glad to be in God's house. I'm glad to be back. Thank God. And I'm glad to be in. Until we get home, this is my haven of rest. Amen. You go on vacation and I come. I thought, I don't want to go home to rest. I want to go to church to rest. I don't want to go somewhere else. I want to come to church to rest. I want to rest in him, thank God. And just enjoy him. Hallelujah. We come and go, but I'm glad he don't leave.
Amen.
But anyway, we're going to pray and let these youngins go to Sunday school. And pray that precious seed gets in their heart. Thinking about that down there, I'm glad it only brings forth good fruit. Hallelujah. But anyway, I'll tell you what. If you would, just continue to pray for Danny and Dawn. And all of these that's going through things, pray for Robin. She's sick, and Stephanie's sick. My dad's been sick. All of them been sick. But it's flu season, I guess. But aren't you glad for a land where sickness don't enter in? Amen. Thank God. Won't be none of that business over yonder. Hallelujah. Diane, she's gone to South Carolina. She'll be back tomorrow. Just pray the Lord just meets with us this morning and does what he wants to do. I think we'll all be satisfied if the Lord has his way. Thank God. Because I believe that's his will. But anyway, we're going to pray. And I tell you what, we'll let these youngins go. William, will you come up here and teach this morning? All right. All right. Father, we bow before you. We come to you. We thank you this morning, Lord, for letting us come to the house of God. Lord, I'm glad to be home. I appreciate it, Lord. God, I appreciate the family. Great God, what a good family you put us in. Lord, I'm glad today, Father, for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. I'm glad you're tender this morning. Kind, kind-hearted. Lord, you're touched. Lord God, I appreciate that. God, I mean, Lord God, so great a love. Shoo. I appreciate it. What a voice. Lord God, what love, what mercy. God, have your way around here this morning. Move in the midst. Broken hearts, but Lord God, you can help. You can bind them back together. God, folks going through things. Some getting near the shore. God, I'm glad you know the way home. I'm glad you are the way home. Now, Lord, just have your way. Bless these youngins, Lord. God, save each and every one of them. God, that's our heart's desire, and I believe that's your heart's desire. God, plant that seed in a place, Lord, in that good ground. Oh, Lord God. Speak and let them hear, Lord. God, we'll thank you. We'll thank you for all that you do, Lord. God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Have your Bible, Luke chapter number 1. And I know Christmas is already gone. My son Christian got up the day after Christmas. He said, only 364 more days left. I don't know if that's good that he was thinking I had such a good one this time that I can't wait till the next one, or if he was thinking I didn't get what I wanted this time and I got 364 more days to wait. Luke chapter number 1. But I appreciate the Lord, and it's good to be saved, and it's good to be in the church. And thank God for the haven of rest. Thank God for a land of rest. And thank God for rest in the Lord Jesus. Amen. He giveth his beloved sleep, and he provides rest to the weary soul. And thank the Lord for the inn and this place of rest. And I don't want to be discouraging, but we're in days that aren't going to get better. But God's rest is going to be more precious and more necessary. And, it got to the place to where the children of Israel were crying out in the land of Egypt. Their toll of bricks didn't diminish any, but it just kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier till they were pressed down and with anguish they cried out. And I think it might be that way with us. It might be that The Lord has stayed his coming for the sake of the lost. And the Lord has, as long as the church can, I preach this in Bulgaria, that as long as the church can endure the days that are on us and pray that God would have mercy and save sinners, why, the Lord will stay his coming for the sake of those sinners. But when the church can't endure anymore, and when they cry out for deliverance, and then he'll say, okay, I'm coming. And we've got to endure as long as we can for the sake of these lost folks. And the devil's not going to lighten up. He doesn't take a vacation. He doesn't pause a moment. He's unscrupulous. He had no, it doesn't, he'll just as soon hurt a child as he would an adult. He had no regard for life, for innocence. And he gonna make it as difficult and as unbearable as he possibly can. And this isn't the first time the church has been in these days. Take courage. This isn't the first time the world's been in this shape. Noah's day, no matter how many millions there were, 8 souls were saved out of all of them. And I mean, I suppose he endured persecution. He certainly didn't have any help. The whole world was set evil continually. Their thoughts were only evil continually. Whatever they set there. Matter of fact, wasn't too many chapters after that, they's back in the same shape. And in Babel, whatever their hearts and minds wanted, nothing was restrained to them. And if it weren't for God confounding the languages, they'd have been back in the same place that they were in Genesis chapter 6. And this isn't the first time the righteous have been in days like this. But God's grace is sufficient, and God will give us strength to endure as much as we can, and when you can't, you can't. That's just it. And the children of Israel got to the place they couldn't, and the Lord heard, and he told Moses, he said, I've heard him, and he said, I'm going to deliver him. And understand that in the deliverance of the children of Israel, the rest of the world, that Egypt was wiped out. Understand that when the children of Israel got delivered, judgment fell on everybody else. And think about that before we ask for too much deliverance, in that our rescue means the end of them. And that our rescue means that there's no hope anymore. Preacher Potter said, when the church goes, there ain't no place to put anybody. It's gone. And they've got to face what's coming. I say that to say, let's just let God's grace be sufficient and help us. And I understand. I ain't saying nothing. Everybody has a point when they say, I can't do any more. And the children of Israel got to that place. That's not what I'm going to talk about this morning. But they got to that place, and the Lord said, I'm going to send you a deliverer. He didn't say, I'd send you a deliverer. He said, I have come down to deliver. Moses got a little confused there, thought I was going to deliver him. And God said, I don't need your help, Moses. He said, I have come down. I have heard, and I have come down. He said, all I need you to do is open your mouth and speak my words. He said, I'll do the rest. Luke chapter number 1. And I want to look here at the testimony of Mary. You read in verse number 30, or excuse me, 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail! Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You know, that's how everybody gets saved. That's how everybody gets in. The Holy Ghost comes upon you. The power of the highest overshadows you. And that holy thing that's born in you is called the Son of God. You don't get it apart from that. It said in verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That's a pretty good note to end a year on. And that's an even better note to start a year on. That with God nothing shall be impossible. Thank God. We're faced with impossible things. We're faced with an impossible, but with God. Hey, without God, it's all impossible. Can I say this to you this morning? Without God, waking up's impossible. Without God, putting one foot in front of the other's impossible. That without God, getting here this morning was an impossibility. In Him we live and move and have our being. You draw breath because of God. You've got eyesight because of God. You've got everything that you have because of Him. And without Him, everything's impossible. But with Him, all things are possible. Thank the Lord. Amen. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. I like it. I like it. The Holy Ghost wrote it. You can't write it any better. Nothing. I like when he said nothing. It doesn't matter what you think. Nothing shall be impossible. It didn't say, listen, to put it a different way, nothing will be too hard. With God, it ain't difficult. You've never had a request laid before Him that has taxed Him the least little bit. That you haven't expended His energy or His power or His might. With Him, nothing shall be impossible. Bring the most difficult. Bring that thing that is absolutely beyond the realms of human power or human and go beyond that. I like it. Go to the Red Sea. And they said, how are we going to cross? How are we going to get across here? This is a deep sea. Well, with God, nothing shall be impossible. What do you mean you're going to let us go around and protect us as we make the long trek? Well, no, I'll just open up a lane in the middle of the sea. I'll cause this water to stand up. I'll cause it to stand. He can do the impossible, thank God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I like that. Nothing, nothing at all. Think of the hardest soul, the hardest sinner, the biggest rebel, I mean the biggest enemy, but with God, nothing shall be impossible, thank the Lord. I suppose maybe they thought Saul of Tarsus, maybe half of them is praying, God, just kill him and get him out of the way. Maybe the other half is just asking God to send him on someplace else. But God said, I can do better than that. I can save that man, and I can take that enemy, and I can save him. I can do the impossible. That one that hates me, I can make him love me with all his heart. That one that's fought against me and opposed me, I can make him a preacher of the gospel and send him the whole world over to do my will. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Praise the Lord for that. I don't know if I'll get beyond that. That's pretty good. Amen. Nothing impossible. Nothing at all. Praise the Lord. Ain't nothing's restrained Him the least little bit. Well, I got some other good thoughts on my mind. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, God had just told her something impossible. God had just said, she said, I'm not married. I've never known a man. How am I going to have a child? He said, the power of the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee. And she said, whatever you want to, God, you can do the impossible. Here I am. Be it unto me according to thy word. I don't know how you're going to do it, but that ain't my business to know how. My business just to believe you and say, here I am, O Lord. It ain't my business to figure it out. How you going to figure out what he just said anyway? I mean, how you going to comprehend the Holy Ghost coming upon you and the power of the highest overshadowing you? How can you comprehend those things that are beyond biological science, that's outside the realm of our understanding? But just like Abraham, her forefather, she didn't stagger at the promise of God. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. Here I am. You just do what you want to do. And I suppose that's all the Lord's asking. You don't have to understand it. You just have to say, here I am. You don't have to figure it out. You just say, let it be, O Lord, according to thy word. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Just at the presence of Jesus. Look what he was doing, and he wasn't even born yet. I mean, he wasn't even manifest yet. I don't know, you know, when they get with child, they get their little thing, and they every so many weeks they tell you how big a child is. They say today it's an apple or a grape or whatever, and the child gets, I don't know what size he was in the womb, but it was big enough to where when he got there, things got tore up, thank God. When he showed up and she just said, howdy, Elizabeth, my Lord, heaven came down and power fell in that place and tongues were loosed. And I mean, they had a Holy Ghost meeting right there. And John wasn't born and Jesus wasn't born, but there they were in the womb. Don't you tell me that a child's not a child while it's in the womb. I mean, there was John and there was Jesus both in the womb, but heaven came down as enough for the Lord. Amen. And it came to pass when she heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, that little babe, that little whatever stage he was, 6 months ahead of the Lord Jesus, but he said he's here. He's here. I can't see him because I'm in here, but I can sure feel him. He's here. His presence is here. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Oh, Lord, she knew the Lord's already there. My Lord has come here. Well, where is he? He's in that womb. Christ in you, thank God. My Lord is here. Hey, we come here this morning and you've got Christ in you and the Lord is here, thank God. That ought to help you. Doesn't matter where you go, you've got Christ in you. My Lord is in you. He's with you, thank God. I like it. Two folks get together. Doesn't matter where we meet. Two of us meet out on the road someplace up at the store, get to talking about the Lord, and things get to leaping in your heart. I mean, your Lord's come unto me, thank God, and I get excited about it. Brother Sam used to have just as good meetings over at the breakfast table over there as he did at church. Sometimes they'd call on him, I mean, a straggling handful sitting around there waiting to eat their lunch. And they'd say, Brother Sam, say, would you ask a blessing? And just a few minutes, he's gone. Hallelujah. I mean, there wasn't no room to eat or whatever. He'd come out shouting, praising God. Why? The Lord had come, thank God. He was there. Said the mother of my Lord has come unto me. Said in verse 44, for lo, As soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. Thank God. Blessed is she that believed. Blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. Now he told her nothing shall be impossible. And she believed him. Amen. The angel said nothing shall be impossible. That's what he said. Look at it again. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And she believed him. All right, nothing will be impossible. And she got down to Elizabeth's house. I don't know how long the time had elapsed, but Elizabeth reminded her by the Holy Ghost, blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Thank God. Mary, praise God, you believed and God's going to do the impossible. Amen. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I reckon when somebody says, hey, God's going to do what you believed him to do, I don't suppose you can help but testify. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. I like to think about this here. Mary said he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. And aren't you glad when the Lord regarded your low estate? We sing, it is well with my soul. And that verse in there, Christ hath regarded my sinful estate. Christ hath regarded, he took knowledge of me and he regarded my low estate and he decided to do something about my low estate, thank God. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, and from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. One day the Lord took knowledge of us and took knowledge of you in your low estate and did something about it, thank God. And from that point on, all generations will call you blessed. Your name got, we sang it already, your name got written in the Lamb's book of life. And for all eternity, hey, one of these days the nations are going to parade around through there. And you folks that suffered and had such a low estate here, your names will be emblazoned there. And all generations will call you blessed and say, look what the Lord did for that soul. Thank God. Sometimes down here we get it, we want to strive to be somebody or something down here. But one of these days all generations will call you blessed. Verse 49 is where I wanted to get to. And he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. I was thinking about that earlier in the week, he that is mighty. You know, I got to thinking about that, and we can't comprehend his power or his might. His strength is beyond our comprehension. We comprehend things in comparison to other things. You know, that's how we reference them, and we compare them and get a sense of them. But there's nobody to compare to him. There's nobody as mighty as he is. There's not a soul that can touch him in terms of power. We can't even compare it. Paul talked about over there that though he was rich, and we've got nobody as rich as he is. We talk about riches and people talk about Bezos and Warren Buffett or Bill Gates and talk about this one and that one, but they can't even compare to him. I mean, he is rich beyond compare. He is mighty beyond our understanding. Hey, he is so powerful that all he has to do is speak and it happens. He stepped out and said, let there be light. And light came into existence. Light, I don't know how, he just said it and there it was. He spoke for what? He spoke for firmament. And firmament, he is so powerful that what he says must happen. What he says must, it can't be stopped or it can't be resisted. It has to happen that way. When Jesus was here, what he said had to happen. Didn't matter what the devil did, it had to take place like he said. That's how powerful he is. His word cannot be broken. When they told them fellas, get in the ship and go to the other side, do you know what had to happen? That ship had to arrive at the other side. It didn't matter that it was full of water. It didn't matter how high the storm got. It didn't matter how many waves crashed over the deck of it. He pronounced it, and it was so, thank God. Nothing could resist it. Nothing could stop it. Didn't matter what the devil had to say about it. He had no ability there. He had no power. Matter of fact, everything he did was turned around to fulfill God's word instead of hindering it. That's how mighty he is. But we can't comprehend somebody with that kind of power. And so Paul put it to us this way in 1 Corinthians, he said, the weakness of God. The weakness of God. And we can't comprehend strength, but we might be able to comprehend weakness a little bit. He talked about the weakness of God, but then he said the weakness of God is stronger than men. You want to know how? You see, when Jesus came here, he didn't come here in might or in power. He came here in weakness. Hey, look, I'm talking about a baby in the womb. I'm talking about a baby in the womb. And when he showed up, I mean, things happened. When his presence arrived, people got filled with the Holy Ghost and babes leapt and testimony sprang forth and joy came in again. I'm talking about the picture of weakness, that infant, and people in a far distant land left everything to come and worship him in weakness. Look what all he did. And the entirety of his ministry was in weakness. The entirety of it wasn't in demonstrations of strength, but was in demonstrations of weakness. Matter of fact, he got out there 40 days and 40 nights to make an even playing field with the devil. 40 days. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, you want to fight? He said, I won't eat anything for 40 days. And I won't drink anything for 40 days. And then let's meet together and see what happens. And he got as absolutely weak as his beyond possibility. I mean, nobody, how in the world could that physical body withstand it? You try not eating or drinking for 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, see if your physical body, but see, he had something inside a physical body that he couldn't die. I mean, he couldn't die. I mean, if you'd have tacked on another 40 years, he'd have still been there because he was God in the flesh, thank the Lord. He couldn't die, thank God. 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil came out there against him, and he defeated him, thank God. I mean, through weakness, the devil couldn't touch him at his weakest. At his weakest, he was able to step out on a stormy sea, thank God. That wasn't a demonstration of his power. He's able to do that in weakness and in meekness. Oh, thank God, the weakness of God. But he that is mighty hath done to me great things. He saved you when he was weak. Remember, I mean, if the 40 days and 40 nights was an example, what about the cross the last meal he had partaken of with his disciples? And Brother Jimmy's talking about it this morning. Then he went out in that Garden of Gethsemane and under such a strain that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and they couldn't watch with him 1 hour. I don't fault the disciples. They couldn't have watched with him anyway. That's too big for them. That's too heavy for them. They couldn't enter into those things. Their flesh was weak. It could not enter in. I mean, they failed in the flesh, but that's all right. He succeeded where they failed, thank God. And the disciples, those closest to him, couldn't do it. So he said, I'll do it all by myself, thank God. I don't need you. I'll just man this thing up by myself and take care of it. And then they came and took him and took him down there to the judgment hall and abused him all night long, thrashed him and plucked out his beard and sent him off this place to that. So much so that come morning time, when Pilate had made his final pronouncement, they didn't think he would be strong enough even to make it up the hill to Calvary. And they compelled one Simon. They said, you're going to have to bear his cross. This man probably won't make it up there as much as we've done to him. And they got old Simon. And I like the gospel accounts there. They got Simon. And they said, you carry his cross. And the first three gospels talk about Simon. Talk about he's a country boy. Come out of the country, probably big and strong. Got two boys with him. He tried to hoist that cross up and maybe got a few steps underneath it and he couldn't bear it because that wasn't his cross to carry. Simon didn't carry that cross. Come over there to the book of John and it says, and he bearing his cross. I mean, some point Simon stumbled underneath that load. He said, it's too heavy for me. And he's probably ashamed of himself. Big strapping Simon, able to work and able to carry and able to do this, but he couldn't carry that load. And the Lord Jesus in his weakness said, this isn't yours to carry. You ain't able to bear this. It's too big for you. This got the sins of the world on it. But he said, watch me pick it up. And he stooped down there. Glory be to God. Stooped down there, bloodied and beaten, and picked that cross up, and he shouldered it, thank God, and he didn't falter, and he didn't stagger, but he carried it all the way up to Calvary's hill. When he got up there, he laid it down, and he stretched out himself upon, then nobody had to wrestle him. There wasn't Roman soldiers that had to hold him down. I suppose he laid the cross down, and then laid himself upon it, thank God, and said, here I am, my Father. Here I am to do thy will, thank God. And in weakness, he let him nail him there. He let them nail him there. Oh, my Lord, he told him there right before that began to take place. He said, Simon Peter said, let's fight this out, Lord. We can do it. Drew a sword and drew blood. And the Lord said, hey, don't you realize? He said, with one breath, I can call legions of angels. We can come wipe this. I don't need help. I don't need your help. He didn't even need the angels' help. He could have spoke one word and all of everything would have been abolished. He said, I'm doing this for you. Laid out on that cross and they nailed him there. No cry of anguish for his pain. He never cried out in pain. He never cried out because of the seven times he uttered from the cross, and never one of them was, I'm hurting. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Charles Spurgeon said, just to let the devil know how impotent he was in that hour, right in the middle of it all, he called pause and had a business meeting. Right in the middle of it all, he said, John, look over there at your mother. You take care of her. Spurgeon said that just let the devil know that no matter what he's doing, he wasn't in charge there. And he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't afflicting no, I mean, he wasn't, it was all in his hand. Right in the middle of it all, the strangest cry from the cross was that business meeting. Take care of my mother. Take care of this woman here that believed God. As I'm dying and as I'm about to draw my last breath, take care of this woman that 33 and a half years ago or 32 year and a half years ago believed God when God came to her. You look after her, John. Praise the Lord. And then he cried out from the cross, it is finished. But he that is mighty hath done to me great things. I like that. All through the gospel, it's illustrations of what he could do in weakness. In weakness, he can heal completely, absolutely. In weakness, he could raise from the dead. I mean, in weakness, he could save a woman at the well. In weakness, he could walk on the water. In weakness, he could wither a fruit tree. In weakness, he could do all of those things. In weakness, he could cast out devils. In weakness, he could, no man could oppose him. The devil couldn't stop him. In all that, in weakness. But the text says, he that is mighty. He that is mighty. And see, he that's mighty can do mighty things. And what's the mightiest thing he did for you is when he saved you. You have a mighty salvation. You have a salvation so absolutely strong and complete that hell can't touch it. You can't lose it. It can't be stripped from you. You can't jeopardize it. You can't hazard it. Why? Because he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Reverend is his name. He that is mighty. Thank God he saved you. He brought you out with a high hand and a stretched out arm. Thank God saved you. Hell can't stop you. One day, the waves are bound to crash over the ship. we're wanting him to step out over the vessel and speak peace and stop the waves, but I don't know if he's going to do it, but that's all right. You're going to get to the other side regardless. I'm with you. We want him to step out and calm the seas, but I don't think we're in sea calming days. I don't think we're in days of smooth sailing. I don't think we're in days of deliverance from the storm. I think we're in days where we can see that his might will see us through. And the ship won't sink in spite of the storm. Might feel like it. Might feel like it. I think about them fellas. Man, ain't Rose Emma not here to raise up two fingers? Nobody's here to ring a bell. But I was thinking about them fellas that undergo, Navy SEALs that undergo that training. All of them have to go through what it is where they capture them, and they all have to go through that camp. All of them have to go through waterboarding. If you're going to get captured by the enemy, you've got to endure it yourself. And the entire premise of that waterboarding is to make you think you're dying when you're not. It's all completely controlled. They know how much you can take. They know how much to pour, but it just, your mind can't comprehend it. And there you think, I'm going to die and I'm going to drown here. But you're in the hands of somebody who knows. Amen. And all them soldiers are passing through that same thing. And it's the fellow soldiers doing it, But they're in good hands. They're not going to let them perish. You just think you are. And we're in days like that where you're sitting there and the waves are crashing. That's what David said over in the Psalms, said the proud waves crashed over me. And he said, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul, but he didn't realize he was upheld. And the waves kept crashing. Sometimes he's struggling, seeming like for breath, struggling to breathe and struggling to, but he was still on a firm foundation. Sometimes bobbing up and down there, he might have thought, the ocean's going to take me. But it wasn't so deep. There's a great big foundation underneath him. Amen. He might have gone down a little bit, that there's a great big foundation right there, and he wasn't going to go under. Well, I appreciate the Lord. And I'm glad he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and blessed is his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your great mercies and your great kindness. Lord, thank you for the haven of rest. Thank you for the anchor. Lord, our souls are anchored. Anchored, God. Amen. Anchored within the veil. Anchored in the person of Jesus. Lord God, anchored and won't move. Lord God, we stagger and stumble and pull at the anchor chain, but it's never once moved. Oh God, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that your will would be done here this morning. And God, that you'd be exalted and be magnified. And Lord, help us to remember that with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Lord, help us to believe you and let you do what you want to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.